And as I've reflected even yesterday and before, I just thought about, and I'm sure all of us can, when your birthday comes around, you think about the times that you might not have been here, but God. And so this birthday, even though I'm a year older, to me it's just grace that has brought me this far. And so I just embrace 53. I've never been one to have a problem with my birthday. If I'm 60, I'm going to still be. I'll just be 60. It's not a big deal. I just hope I grow old gracefully. Not gray, but gracefully. As long as my girls are in the business, I probably will never be gray. I want to tell you how much I love you, and I appreciate you calling. We normally play for the scripture, but today we're just going to toss it up a little bit. It's been a minute since I've been behind the pulpit. God has done some really beautiful things, and there's been journeys in our life just this year, but I feel like this is going to be an encouraging word today. And so I just want to, I want some participation today, and I'm not going to call anybody out, but if I ask you to repeat something, we're just going to repeat it together, all right? All right, if you have your Bibles, you can stand to your feet. Psalm 18, verse 1 through 3 in the NLT version. This says, I love you, Lord. You are my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my Savior. My God is my rock in whom I find protection. He is my shield, the power that saves me, and my place of safety. I called on the Lord who is worthy of praise, and he saved me from my enemies. This is from the choir director, the Psalm of David, the servant of the Lord. And he sang this particular psalm, Psalm 18, to the Lord on the day that the Lord rescued him from all of his enemies and from Saul. So he sang it out. So today I'm going to pray, but we're going to talk about something just very simple. Changing the atmosphere with your praise. Leslie had no idea that I would be even delivering a message this week, but I will tell you, as I was up here singing with the girls, I could see a gate opening, and it was like, Holy Spirit, we have opened the gate, and only you are worthy. And so today, we're just going to talk about changing the atmosphere with our mouth. Can you pray with me? Father, we thank you this morning for all you've done. We thank you that you are holy and that you are worthy, and you are the only one worthy to open the scrolls. I thank you that today we submit ourselves under the authority of Almighty God. And we thank you right now that the atmosphere has already changed because the worshipers have come forth. I thank you today that every heart and mind that's listening to me, I ask you, Lord, that you'll bless us all with the word that you're going to bring forth today. And it's for this we give all glory, all praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you all just say amen and maybe hug somebody next to you? All right. Many people are feeling a sudden onslaught of heaviness and maybe discouragement. Can I get a witness? Has anybody felt discouraged lately? Yet even amidst this, the Lord is saying, press through the resistance with your praise and watch as the atmosphere begins to shift. Many are on the verge of a massive breakthrough, and the enemy is fighting hard to keep you from receiving it. So you might say, Ashley, I've done everything that I know possibly that is right. I have prayed, I have fasted, I've gotten into the Word, but something seems off. Can I tell you today, I want to encourage you to open your mouth, because your mouth and your worship to God can change the very atmosphere. Everything that's going on in your life today, like that, there can be a shift. It's written in the Word in Revelation 12 and 11, you will overcome him, you will overcome the enemy, by what? Through the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. And pastors preached a message about, I've got a testimony. And sometimes we'll just keep it to ourselves, we'll just pray in our minds and never verbalize it. But I'm going to encourage you today, after this day, don't just keep it in your mouth and in your heart or in your mind. But today is the day that we open our mouth and we switch flip the switch and we change the atmosphere with our words. Remember that praise is a powerful weapon of warfare. Have you ever considered that one of the most important and powerful declarations you can make is very simple? The Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. I believe the Lord is emphasizing this word again as a glorious battle cry through his people. If you can relate to feeling a restriction in the atmosphere, then this word of encouragement is for you. If you felt restricted in the atmosphere, in your home, in your business, wherever, whatever you do in life, you just might feel even restricted here. But I'm going to tell you, you have the choice. You have the opportunity today to shift things and to break the atmosphere wide open. For the atmosphere of the kingdom in Romans 14 and 7 is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And we have had some righteousness, some peace in our times of prayer and fasting, but I believe that we had some joy in the Holy Ghost this morning. You're about to breathe freely from heaven's fresh air again. Can everybody just take a big deep breath? It's refreshing, isn't it? It's time to sound the battle cry. So what is a battle cry, you might ask? It's a call or a shout that rallies an army, one that can cause an advance or a suddenly. For example, in Joshua 6 and 20, when Joshua led the Israelite army against Jericho, their battle cry was one final shout of victory. And then later on, we find in Judges 7 and 20, Gideon led a small band against the Midianites, and their cry was, "The sword of the Lord and Gideon." And then there was an unusual case of King Jehoshaphat of Judah. He sent a choir of an army singing, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." Let me read you this. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 15 through 22 in the NLT. It's going to be on the screen. He said, "Listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Listen, King Jehoshaphat. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's." Can somebody say amen? This battle was never meant for me. Maybe it was meant to prune me, to purge me, and to take me forward, but it was never meant to harm me. Verse 16 says, "Tomorrow march out against them, and you will find them coming up through the ascent of Ziz, at the end of the valley that opens into the wilderness of Jeruel. But you will not even need to fight. Take your position, then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. He is with you, O people of Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord God is with you." Verse 18, "Then King Jehoshaphat bowed low with his face to the ground." There's always a posture change that happens before the Lord's going to keep you out of this battle. Can I tell you, I've been in a heated battle, and I've warred in the spirit, but sometimes I have to get on my face, and my posture has to change for him to stand up and take attention to what it is that I need the Lord to do. Verse 19, "The Levites from the clans of Kohath and Korah stood to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud shout." Verse 20, "Early the next morning, the army of Judah went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. On the way, Jehoshaphat stopped and said, 'Listen to me, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you'll be able to stand firm. Believe his prophets, and you will succeed.'" Now, this is just a quick recap. There was a lot of armies coming against Jehoshaphat and the people of God. He was stressing, no doubt about it, because they looked larger. And how many tonight or today can attest and say, "The battle that I'm facing now looks larger than what I can handle"? Well, you're in a great position. You're in the greatest position, because God specializes in things that are thought impossible, and he pulls for the underdog. I'm telling you, he will pull when it doesn't make sense, and you'll come out on top. So here he's encouraging the people. "I know what it looks like, but I've already talked to the Lord. As my posture changed, I talked to the Lord, and he said, 'Don't be worried. Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever.'" Before this, he let the singers go out. Verse 22, "At the very moment the singers began to sing and give praise, the Lord caused the armies, Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, to start fighting among themselves." So what the enemy meant for harm, to threaten Jehoshaphat, the bad armies turned on each other. Can I tell you something? You will not be a casualty of war whenever you praise him. Praise your way forward. Praise your way through. He'll see you through. Does it mean you won't be tested? No, it doesn't, because this isn't a cakewalk. This is a "I'm walking by faith" walk. And sometimes you might not understand, and you might not think he's working, but he is. I've always heard the teacher is silent during a test. And the Lord sometimes is silent during our testing. Judah didn't have to engage in that battle, even though the odds were against them. As God moved, their enemies turned against each other. So God's goodness and mercy come together in this power-packed statement, and it's one that you can declare. Look at Psalm 100, verse 5. For the Lord is good, and His love endures. His faithfulness continues through all generations. That means the generations before my mama, before my grandmother, and even on back to the lineage of David, to the lineage of Jesus Christ. And now it's to this generation, it'll be to my children, it'll be to my grandchildren. And should the Lord tarry, the history will complete itself. But I'm going to tell you, I want the Lord to find me worthy, and I want Him to say, she got it, and she was praising the Lord in the midst of the trial. Can I tell you, this is the declaration of praise that preceded the cloud of God's glory filling the temple. As the Lord's weighty presence filled the room, the priest could not even stand to minister. And that's in 2 Chronicles 5, 13 and 14. It is also the cry of the psalmist in the face of warfare. I'm going to do a little reading of Psalms, okay? All right, Psalm 118, verse 1 through 17. This is unlike how pastor delivers, but guess what? I'm Ashley, and he's pastor, and that's why he's the pastor, and I'm his helper, okay? All right, so if you want to read along with it on the screen, Psalm 118, 1 through 17. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Everybody, let's say this line together. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, His love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, His love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, His love endures forever. When hard pressed, I cried to the Lord. He brought me into a spacious place. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I'll look in triumph on my enemies. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans. Humans, people, our family, they want to help us, and that's all well and good. But there comes a point that they have to stop. And then the Lord, we should always put the Lord the first of our prayer and the first of our praise. But sometimes we want to lean heavy on other people to see the victory in our battles. But can I tell you, the Lord is calling us. It ain't your mama's breath that's going to praise for you, even though she can. It's going to be your praise. And you say, praise the Lord, for His mercy endures forever. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All the nations surrounded by me, but in the name of the Lord, I cut them down. They surrounded me on every side, but in the name of the Lord, I cut them down. They swarmed around me like bees, but they were consumed as quickly as burning thorns. In the name of the Lord, I cut them down. I was pushed back and about to fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. Number 17, I love this. I will not die but live, and I will proclaim what the Lord has done. Now, I'm going to just tell you, for me, I could see it like this in Psalm 118. I'm going to just put Ashley's spin on this for a minute. They were giving thanks to the Lord, and afterward, it was like they were giving praise. But can I tell you what I decided to do? I'm not going to praise after the battle. I'm going to go ahead and praise before the battle. So, Lord, you know my mind. I feel like I'm about to lose it and have a breakdown. But the Lord is good, and His mercy endures forever. You see that our finances, there's no way we're going to make it. But the Lord is good, and His mercy endures forever. You see my body is wrecked in pain. But God is good, and His mercy endures forever. Your marriage may be on the rocks, and you say it's over. I've already seen the signs. But you praise Him forward and say, praise the Lord. I'm restored and I'm renewed, and His mercy endures forever. Maybe you're having a decision that you got to make today. Can I tell you, don't wait till you make the decision, but praise the Lord, for His mercy endures prior to your decision. We can get ourselves in the biggest mess if we praise Him or even pray to Him after we make the decision. Sometimes we want the Lord to bless something that He's not been a part of. He didn't tell you to do it, but you did it, and then you want the Lord to bless you. But can I tell you, Praise him before. Praise him before you have a battle. Can I also remind you, there are things that I've encountered personally in my life that I could feel something in my spirit. The atmosphere of my whole being was something felt off. And I knew that there was about to be an onslaught. I knew that there would be some kind of trial that I was going to face. I didn't wait for it to hit me, but I hit my knees in prayer. I postured myself before the Lord and I said, Father, I thank you that regardless, if you let this storm come by me, you will not let the storm consume me, but you, O Lord, are good forever. Can somebody just say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. The enemy wants you to doubt the goodness of God in your circumstance. He's good at that, right? I've talked to people just recently, people that have been in church or had relationship with the Lord for so long, and it's like, I've prayed, but I'm sort of doubting it. It's not wrong to doubt it. Where it's wrong is when you start speaking the doubt over what thus saith the word of God. He has spoken his word. He has given a promise for everything you'll ever need, everything you could want. Yet in the face of the storm and the greatest threats, you can proclaim, my God is good, and he is full of mercy toward me. You will know that God's goodness is not dependent upon people or your feelings or your circumstance. And I love this. For good is your Father's identity, and it is who he is. Good is your Father's identity, and it is he that's going to help you. When Moses asked God, show me your glory, in Exodus 33:18-19, God said, I will make all of my goodness pass before you. How many today could say, I just need his goodness to pass before me? You ask God to show you his glory, and he's going to do it. Because the Lord is good, and his love endures, for the Lord is good forever. For God's goodness and kindness are unstoppable. There is never any time or any moment when he is not good and kind. You can rest secure in God's goodness, for he never changes and he's always good. That sounds generic. And we used to say, God is good. And then people would say, yeah, all the time. And then somebody would say, all the time. And then somebody else would say, God is good. Can we just do that? That's a little old school, but let's do it. God is good. And all the time. Look at that. See how easy it was? But can I tell you, there's power in that. There's also power in them little bracelets we used to wear that was WWJD. What would Jesus do? I think if some of us could almost get us a permanent marker on that wrist that says, and then you're going to say, well, I don't know if this is wrong or not. You just look at that and say, what would Jesus do? If it's not pleasing to him, I say, praise him, thank him, get in a posture of prayer, and he's going to tell you what you need to do. Where in the world did that come from? Jesus said in John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. This truth is assurance, your security, and the rock that you stand on. The Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. A declaration of God's goodness routs the enemy. Maybe it reroutes him. So the story of how King Jehoshaphat trusted the prophet's word. He sent the choir before the army. It encourages us today that in the face of pressure, in the face of obstacles, you can have a simple declaration of praise at hand. So it might maybe put like you fill your pockets with stuff, and then when you need it, you just pull it out. It's like money in your pocket, change in your pocket. Why not just put a little praise in your pocket and wait? Not literally, but I mean, you know, if you want to, that's good. Put some praises in your pocket, and then whenever it's time, don't speak negative, because the atmosphere is going to change according to your speech. If you're negative, Nancy, or you're always a Debbie Downer, can I tell you, your atmosphere is thick. And it's not thick with the power of God. It's thick with negative. And you know who the father and the author of confusion is? It's the enemy. It's not your father. And so I'm going to say, I would encourage you to watch your mouth. Watch your mouth, because if you want the atmosphere, if there's tension in your home and nobody's speaking to each other, you got teenagers and they're slamming the door and being in another room and don't want nothing to do with you, if there's war in your home, then it's time that you're going to need a shift. There needs to be a shift. You may speak this confession quietly, the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever, yet it's like lion-like roar in the spiritual realm. You might say it quietly, but it's like a roar in the spiritual realm. For it is a word of truth that silences demonic whispers. It dispels darkness with a breath of life. I praise you, oh my God, for you are good and your mercy endures forever. You're going to remember that. The Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. His goodness is active right now in your present. For his spirit, this is Galatians 5:22, for his spirit is within you, along with all his fruit of kindness and goodness. These words of David are a battle cry for somebody today. Psalm 27:13 in the NLT. Yet I am confident I will see the Lord's goodness while I am here in the land of the living. God's goodness is in your future, both in this lifetime and in eternity. I've asked Pastor, he's gonna come and do, we're going to pray this morning, but I'm going to finish this. It's going to be a very quick word, but can I tell you, I believe that there's some people today that need to have their atmosphere changed. Throughout your life, God's goodness and mercy are like a mighty river. And sometimes you have felt swept in its current. But guess what? Psalm 23:6 says this. Kim, put it up. Psalm 23:6 says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So I'm going to challenge you. It's time to practice a blessing. It's time to pray through your home. It's time to pray through your workplace or somewhere that's been a specific challenge, especially if the atmosphere has been affected long term or even if it's been affected recently. Declare the goodness and mercy of God and see by faith the enemy is fleeing. Thank God for redeeming what has gone before and speak prophetic words of blessing in Jesus' name of what has gone before you, what you're facing now, and what is coming in the future. For a fresh wind of worship is here, so I called the worshipers to come and sing. In the heat of the battle, Jehoshaphat appointed the worshipers to march out ahead of the army and sing songs to the Lord. Your praise is going to confuse the enemy and send him fighting, so you keep singing. Your praise is going to confuse the enemy, so keep singing. You should have lost your mind, but you're going to praise the Lord. And it's confusing the enemy because you feel like I've gone through so much and the enemy's put all of this. I feel like I've walked through a cloud. I've walked through a desert place even. But can I tell you, as worship comes out of that trial and that battle that maybe you've been facing, God sees that and he'll confuse the enemy that wanted to destroy you. Simple word. The warfare you're experiencing now is not necessarily because you've done something wrong. In fact, it's quite the opposite. The Lord is using this to prepare you for promotion. How many could use a promotion? It's time to praise your way through. As you do, your praise will shift the atmosphere. The Lord is going before you and opening the gate. And then the last scripture is Micah 2:13. NIV. The one who breaks open the way will go up before them. They will break through the gate and go out. Their king will pass through before them, the Lord at their head. Can I say that last part again? Their king will pass through before them, the Lord at their head. I want to challenge you today. You got to shift the atmosphere. There are families here. You better shift the atmosphere. There are mamas. You better shift the atmosphere. Daddies, you better shift the atmosphere. Young people, it's time we shift the atmosphere. You might say that I'm dealing with anxiety. I don't know what's going on. I'm so anxious about everything. But could it be the Lord is challenging you to go ahead and give him some praise? Praise it forward. I might feel like I'm losing it, but the Lord is good. And his love endures, and his mercy endures forever. I'm going to ask you to stand. The Lord's presence is here. The gate was opened prior to me stepping behind this pulpit. Pastor, if you'll come and finish this.
We're going to do this a little differently today. Normally I ask you to come and pray. But today we're going to come and praise. So worship team, get ready to lead us. I don't know how attentive you was to this word today, but I was very attentive to what was said to us. atmosphere has to do with everything in our life. Every day, every moment, everywhere we find ourselves, atmosphere has to do with everything we deal with. And let's just get real. If the atmosphere is not right, nothing else is right. I said, if the atmosphere is not right, nothing else is right. Some of you have been dealing with some hard stuff in your life, and you don't know why. You've been trying to figure out what the problem is. God told us today the atmosphere is not right. So here's what we're going to do. I feel this in the direction of the Holy Spirit today. No begging, no pleading, but if you want change, if you really want change where you are, you're going to be attentive to God. You're going to obey the Lord. Individually, if you need the atmosphere to change in your life, get out of your seat and make your way toward the front of this room right now. As families, if you need the atmosphere to change in your home, you need an atmosphere to change in your life, make your way toward the front of this room right now. Hurry.